to him this morning. Lives my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! He's great this morning. Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made. Hallelujah. I see the storm, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Let's sing it to him this morning. Lives my soul, my Savior, love to me. Yes, Lord, we praise you this morning. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When through the and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Yes, Lord, we praise you today. Then sings my soul, my Savior. Yes, Lord, how great you are this morning. How great thou art. How great thou art. Oh, worship him this morning. He's worthy of our praise today. My Savior God. How great thou art! How great thou art! And when I see that God his Son not sparing, say, I scarce can take it in. Think about it now, that on the cross my burden glad. hallelujah. He bled and died to take away my sin. Cleansing my soul. His name this morning. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful God. How great He is this morning. We're just good to be here this morning. Good to see each one today and looking forward to the service and what God can speak to our hearts. And we know that we always need more and more of Him. Amen. I want to welcome everyone to the service. If you're a visitor this morning, we especially welcome you and those listening by way of internet this morning, glad to have you listening in. Let's sing this old song, There's Power in the Blood, and I'm glad there's still power this morning. Let's sing it. Oh, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or me fall the victory? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. From your passion and pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. For a cleansing to Calvary's time, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, oh power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
Power, power.
and I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All today I now reside. I am redeemed. I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. I have been redeemed. One more time, oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Hallelujah, glory, glory, Christ is mine. Oh, to live, I now resign. I have been redeemed. Give him a good hand clap of praise. We want to welcome this morning Sister April, Sister Alice, and Sister Andrea Grant. Good to have them with us this morning. Amen. Good to see them, each one today. Praise the Lord. We're going to take our prayer request at this time. And Brother Mark, we come this morning as we take these requests. First request says, I have a brother-in-law in the hospital. Please remember him. And that's from Brother Roger Gibbs this morning. Our prayers, so let's remember him. Please remember my aunt, Nee Farmer, who is in the hospital in critical condition in ICU. She is in renal failure, and the doctors are having a difficult time maintaining her blood pressure and oxygen levels. And that from Sarah Buchanan. So let's remember this aunt, Sister Sarah's aunt, Nettie Lee Farmer. Amen. Also, Sister Janet Locke is very sick with a cold, sore throat. Brother David is working today. Please remember them all in prayer. So let's remember Sister Hannah Whitlock this morning, and also Brother, she's doing really well, and just the Lord, believe He's had His hand in her recovery, and she's coming along real good. And someday she would probably argue about that, but I think she's doing excellent myself. So just continue to pray for her, and also Sister Angie recovering from a hip surgery, her hip replacement. Amen. Maybe you have an unspoken request this morning. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Amen. He lives today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Say, play something softly if Brother Mark would come. Amen. And we take these requests this morning.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to be back in your house this morning, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the desire that you put in our hearts, Lord, the yearning, the hunger that you've placed there, Lord, that we would want to be in your house, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. It's a rare thing in these days, Lord, and a thing that we ought to cherish, Father. And we thank you for that. And Lord, you see every request that was made known, Lord, we come because we know that you're a God that answers prayers. That's why we keep coming, Lord, and asking, because you've answered prayer in the past, Lord, and you do answer prayer. And Lord, we bring these before you, Lord. We first want to thank you for those that you've answered, Lord, for Sister Anja and Sister Coffee, Lord. We thank you that they came through their surgery fine, Lord, and recovering well, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, these that's put up requests, Lord, for different ones, for this one in the hospital with blood pressure issue, Lord, we pray that you'll touch them, Lord. These desperate needs, Lord Jesus, that, and we reach out to you, Lord, because we know that, Lord, that you, if we would believe when we ask, Lord, that you would answer our prayers, and that's what we do, Father. For every uplifted hand, Lord, you see the need on each heart. Lord, we pray that you will grant each, Father, and help us and draw us closer to you, Lord, but first help us to draw nigh to you, for your word said, if we would draw nigh to you, you would draw nigh to us, Father. Lord, we pray for the minister that comes today, Lord, this morning. We pray that you will anoint him. Anoint our hearts, our ears, Lord, to receive your word. And give us, Lord, a zeal and enthusiasm, Lord, to leave this place. Lord, to serve you like we never did before, Father. We thank you. Everything that's done and said in the furtherance of this service, Lord, we commit into your hands. We give thee all glory and praise, Lord, and we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, as you're being seated, we have Noah and Joseph's going to come sing for us this morning. They would come at this time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many love him this morning? Amen. Glory to his name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Prices are up, and the market is down.
Nothing but bad news all around.
But I'm as contented can be. I've got Jesus, and nothing is worrying me. Some say it's the start of a steady decline.
Maybe it is, oh, but I'm doing fine.
'Cause trouble can trouble a heart that is free. I've got Jesus, nothing is worrying me. So, oh, let the wind blow, let the rain fall. I may get wet, but I won't fret, I'll get through it all. See, God's in control, and he's got a plan. I'm safe and secure from saved, and I'm sure that he'll never let go of my hand. So I'm gonna sing, and I'm gonna smile.
I'm not afraid of a little old trial.
'Cause I'm a believer, and I still believe. I've got Jesus, nothing is worrying me. So, let the wind blow, let the rain I may get wet, but I won't fret, I'll get through it all. See, God's in control, and He's got a plan. I'm safe and secure, for I'm saved, and I'm sure that I'll never let go of my hand. So I'm gonna sing, and I'm gonna smile. And I'm not afraid of a little old trial. 'Cause I'm a believer, and I still believe I've got Jesus, and nothing is worrying. I've got Jesus, and nothing is worrying. I've got Jesus, and nothing is worrying me.
Are you that way this morning? We want to be that way, don't we? Sometimes we don't. We're not that way, but God, Jesus, nothing's worrying me. We don't have nothing to worry about because He's in control. Brother Keith's going to sing this morning. Amen. If he gets untangled from a mic, praise the Lord. I like that. Praise the Lord.
To see these youngsters up singing and giving their talents and gifts and hearts to the Lord.
Yes, amen.
I tell you, that's a powerful message in that song. If you've got Jesus, no matter what the trial is, you know what the outcome is going to be. I know in our mind it's hard to fathom that sometimes, especially when you're in the middle of it. But as I look back, not one time has He ever failed me. Has He ever left me hanging? It always comes out for the good.
Amen.
Amen. I was thinking of on this special day of Brother Luther this morning. It's kind of hard not to, you know. And this song that we're going to do, this was his favorite song that we'd done. He really liked this song. And I truly believe that Brother Luther is living this song this morning.
Yes, amen.
I'll live again over on the other side.
Yes.
Just loosen up and help us out here. If some morning I am gone from this field of tears, I'm going home to live again. I am going on a trip when I say goodbye. I'll live again over on the other side. I'll live again over on that golden strand. I'm gonna sing and shout with a mighty angel band. On the starry skies, I'll live again over on the other side. I've a mansion over there, built in beauty rare. I'm going home to live again. If they lay me in the grave, don't you weep for me, 'cause I'll live again over on the other side. I'm gonna sing and shout with a mighty angel band. You'll see me rise beyond the starry skies. I'll live again over on the other side. I'll live again over on that golden strand. I'm gonna sing and shout with a mighty angel band. You'll see me rise beyond the starry skies. I'll live again over on the other side. I'm gonna live again over on that golden strand. I'm gonna sing and shout with a mighty angel band. You'll see me rise beyond the starry skies. I'll live again over on the other side.
Hallelujah. quite a man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Matt's going to sing for us this morning, this time.
I know this would be familiar to everybody, so if you know it, sing along.
And
Thank you, Brother Matt. Appreciate all the good singing this morning. Sister Becky, was you going to sing? Okay. All right. Let's stand this morning as our ushers come and we receive the offering this morning. I'd like to sing that old song, The Homecoming Week. This song means a lot to me. It has such wonderful words to it. Amen. Brother Tom, if you'd pray over the offering this morning. Praise your name, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. E flat. Amen. Hallelujah. Upon our journey here below, we meet with man. Sometimes there is a crowd of you, sometimes a miracle. The dreary road to Calvary, the bitter cold and steep. But what's inside those gates of pearl will be those gates of pearl will earn a lot of fear. We'll have a heart that's made of gold, perhaps a thousand dreams. We'll sing and shout and dance about the Lamb. We'll cry our have a grand homecoming week, the first 2,000 years. The shadows now begin to fall, the time is drawing nigh. When Christ our Lord shall come again, like lightning from the sky. And while we wait and suffer here, praise God, we'll shout and sing. For one day through the gates of pearl, we'll be worth everything. When we're inside the gates of pearl, the Lamb will cry our King. We'll have a grand homecoming, the first
Seated this morning. May God bless you and welcome to the house of the Lord. We have arrived. We have arrived at this day, which we are very proud of and very thankful for all the labor and work that's gone into coming to this day. It's a special day for us here at HBT, not only because Levin is back, but also because this is the day when we break the ice and get into our fellowship hall and have our first dinner. And so we are honored to have you with us to celebrate that day and to be able to share in our joy and to do what's called our soft opening. So we're going to have soft foods, I guess, at a soft opening. But we are very thankful for all that's gone into that. We're a little long in our preliminary events this morning in service, so I don't want to take very long to do this. But if you don't mind, let me just go down through a few items of business here that I want to get to before we go any further. First of all, I really had hoped that Sister Mary Ann Roy would be with us today. Sister Mary Ann took a very quick and dramatic turn just in her cognitive impairment, and so she was hospitalized, and then she was put in a nursing care facility, and then they put her into a memory care facility. And she was just not able to be with us today, and we feel very sad about that. And she really wanted to come to this event and also to the opening that we have, which is going to be in October. By the way, we have flyers that are available in the library, and these are done up to advertise our meeting in October, and we're going to have some special guests who are going to be here, some of the people who are involved in the construction. I didn't realize it until this past Wednesday that there were several contractors who worked on our building that donated their labor to the building and gave it to us free, and we're just so thankful for that. We came in under budget and the whole thing, and so some of those folks involved in that are going to be here, and then some of Brother Luther's family as well are going to be here. Again, let me remind you that we do not have everything outfitted in our fellowship hall. It's kind of bare bones. Some of the things that we need are coming in this week and are going to be stocked over time. But we have enough to be able to pull this off today, Lord willing. And as long as you brought the food, we're good. We'll have a time today and a meal immediately after this. We'll go straight to the fellowship hall, and we'll be able to have some time over there. Let me give you a couple of prayer requests here very quickly. Sister Danielle Swafford and Stephen are not here today. Her back has really given her problems, and she was not able to be here today, and they really wanted to come, and so we'd ask you to remember that, remember her in prayer. Sister Connie Hughes is here today, and we appreciate Sister Connie making the effort to come, and it's been very difficult with her back. degenerative situation, and so we sure are thankful that you're here today. Brother John Cockman and his family are on their way. They're going to be here for the dinner, and they'll be here a little bit later on. Brother David Whitlock is working today, and the girls are still not well, and we've been asked to remember them in prayer. Sister Angela Pritchard also really wanted to be here today, and she's in Georgia with her mother, and we miss her. We want to remember Ethan Pritchard, and yesterday, or this past week, I don't remember exactly what day, but Ethan was out in the woods doing his work and stumbled into a nest of yellow jackets. And they worked him over, and they worked over mainly his nose, believe it or not. And he took off when the hornets got him, and then he stopped, and pretty soon he said, and it happened just like this, they came again and stung him again. And as he was running away, he dropped into a sinkhole and twisted his leg, and so he's a mess. But they're listening today, and he's swollen, and he's got some issues there. But he's overall, he's doing very well. It's just that he's got inflammation, obviously, and he's got to let that go down. He had to take Benadryl, and that kind of knocked him out. And so if they're not here today, I know Ethan's hurting, and we sure want to remember him in prayer and just trust that the Lord will undertake for him. Sister Faye Coffey is not here today. She may be coming for the dinner. And we want to remember her and Sister Anja as well, and trust that the Lord will undertake for them and continue to bring healing to their body. We have everybody okay? Got that? All right. So those are our prayer requests that we have. We had our landscapers who were spraying grass around the area to help prevent erosion in our uncovered dirt out here. So they've been spraying and working outside there. And there's bales of straw that are underneath the shelter. Those bales of straw are not toys. And just wanted to remind everybody that they're not toys. And so if you don't mind, just leave them alone. They're going to use those, and we're going to need to have them. When we go into fellowship hall today, we want to remind you that we want to keep our children together and with families, and 12 and under are not supposed to be there without anybody, without an adult with them. And so if you don't mind being sensitive to that, the deacons will be watching for that, and we would appreciate your cooperation there. August 18th was the Buchanan's anniversary, right? How many years? 23 years? Wonderful. God bless you. You weren't here last week, and so we wanted to mention that. We're up in Ohio, and Paul LaFontaine wrote me and said the Buchanan's, C-A-N-O-N-S. The Buchanan's were here. He said they had a great time with them last Sunday. So we hate to miss people when they have not been here for their birthday or anniversary. So we had somebody else who was away last week as well. On August 14th, Sister Sarah Vasaki had a birthday. And may God bless you, Sister Sarah. August 21st is going to be Kristen's birthday, right? God bless you, Sister Kristen. And August 23rd is Ron Knobloch's birthday. Ron Nostradamus Knobloch. God bless you, Brother Ron. Good to have you with us today. May the Lord richly bless you. Brother Mark, if you wouldn't mind standing this morning, Mark Sylvester. With the growing responsibilities and concerns that we have in our church, we have decided to nominate Brother Mark Sylvester as a deacon for our church. And so Brother Mark is in consideration. Brother Mark brings to the table many years of experience as a deacon in his Christian walk. And he and Sister Jackie are a great testimony and a great witness of this message. They believe it firmly with all their hearts. And so, Brother Mark, we are going to nominate you as a person in consideration for the office of a deacon. That's an important position in our church and any church. And one that we have been praying about, Brother Mark's been praying about and has agreed to consider doing. And so next Sunday we'll begin the trial period for Brother Mark as we normally do. And we will take a vote, and all who are in favor and so forth, for Brother Mark to help as a deacon, because we, like I say, now we have a little bit more area that we have to deal with. And We know that Brother Mark is a very responsible person and one who will be a great asset to the team. He's the only person in our church who holds the position currently, or will hold a position if elected, to be both trustee and deacon. And we're going to see how long that lasts, how long he can keep that up. But Brother Mark, we appreciate you. May God bless you. You may be seated. And next Sunday we'll take a vote and begin the trial period and then have an election from there. So may the Lord richly bless you. Let's stand to our feet this morning. In changing positions, I want you to remember one more thing. And that is September 15th, we're going to have the first of our official work days here. We have a goal of making some changes and improvements and renovations by the time we have our meeting on October 12th. And so September 15th will be the first of our work days. So if you don't mind, brothers, mark your calendar, and we can use all the help we can get. We'll give you more information about that event as we get a little bit closer. But September 15th will be the day. I wonder, could we sing, "I Worship You, Almighty God, There Is None Like You"? And we're going to invite our brother Roel to come this morning, and we're honored to have him with us. Brother Roel is he's known to us. He's been with us before and pastors a church just outside of Manila. And Manila has, and Quezon City, the population in that area is how much? 15 million in that part of the world. And when I go to the Philippines, Lord willing, we'll be going in November again to have the retreat. The retreat is in the mountains just north of Manila and Tagaytay. And in the work that goes on in the Philippines is just absolutely outstanding. And I wish we had more time to share it with you. But when I asked Brother Roel, you know, about things that are happening lately in his area, he said, "Oh, last month we baptized 300 people." And he said, that's last month. And he said, we have 100 new churches that we're dealing with. 100 new churches that have come into the message due to their outreach there. Not just in Manila, but in other outlying parts, Mindanao and different places in that area. Just incredible. Just incredible. It's mind-blowing. All of the work that goes on. And Brother Roel is very instrumental in helping orchestrate that and do a lot of that work in that part of the world. And we appreciate his efforts. Been pastoring many years and been faithful, he and his wife, and been through a lot. And that's an understatement. And so we are honored to have them with us today. They're just going to be with us this morning for service and dinner, and then going to Brother Tim Humes. Brother Luis, good to have you today. They're going to be escorting them down to Brother Humes this afternoon. And we appreciate him being here today. So I want you to put your feet under the table and just dine as his guest today and enjoy the word of the Lord, because it's important for us to make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. That's the main thing. So let's sing it this morning as Brother Roel comes.
I worship you, Almighty God. Oh, there is none like you. I worship. That is what I want to do, and I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty.
Him. Amen. Amen. And it's a privilege to be here this morning and be in worship with you again. Amen. My wife is here with me, and my cousin Christine and his husband Luis drove from Georgia to support me. I appreciate that. At least I get three amens if I don't get any from the congregation. God knows we love Brother Barry in the Philippines, and we are in anticipation of the next Manila Youth Retreat. It's going to happen on the 7th till the 10th of September. November, I'm sorry. So you'll be praying about it. And this morning, I just wish to speak about a simple subject. It's about a very familiar scripture. And I'm going to entitle it, The Might and Power of Zerubbabel. The Might and Power of Zerubbabel. The subtitle will be, The Coming of the Headstone to the Body. And we'll be reading from the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 1 to 10. The Bible reads, And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of olive gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And so I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And then the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, Knowest thou not what this be? And I said, No, my Lord. And then he answered and spake unto me, and saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we commit these words to you, and we are trusting that you will make it come alive in the hearts and minds of the hearers. May you bless the speaker, anoint his lips, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and may our souls be truly nourished by the spiritual food that you have prepared for us this morning. We thank you. We ask that you meet every need that is represented in this congregation. And we want you to receive all the praise and honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, this is a familiar portion of the scriptures. And it's about the rebuilding of the temple, the original temple that was destroyed during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And as we all know, it was completely destroyed, and the people of Israel were taken captive into Babylon. And there was a time that Nehemiah, being the cupbearer of the king, he showed his sorrow, manifested his depression for what happened, and then he expressed to the king that he was sad because the city of Jerusalem, where he was from, lied in waste, and he wanted to build the walls of the city and eventually build a temple in it. And the images that we saw in Zechariah chapter 4, the imagery that God showed Zechariah is actually representing the people of God, representing the building of the temple. Of course, we understand that there was an Old Testament temple, and it was destroyed, and the Jewish people tried to build it again during the time of Zerubbabel. And in the New Testament, there is a spiritual temple, which is the church. And Brother Branham said the church died in 325 AD when it started organizing in Rome. But we see the church resurrecting again. And it went through the days of Reformation until it finally came to our day, the age of Laodicea. And so when we're talking about the imagery that was shown Zechariah here, we're actually talking about the church, you know. The seven golden candlesticks represent the temple, and it represents the church. And we understand that Brother Branham used this same imagery to represent the seven church ages. And you notice that there are two olive trees standing side by side, to the left and to the right of the candlestick, which seem to supply oil into the candlestick. And it brought illumination to all the seven golden candlesticks. And we understand without the oil, there can be no light. So these two olive trees became a natural source, a continual source of oil. And it runs directly into the pipes of the candlestick so that there is light in the seven golden candlesticks. And this is the prophetic meaning of it. I'm reading from the message of grace. And Brother Bram says, we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is the headstone. He is the cornerstone, that means the foundation, but he is also the capstone, the headstone of the building, of the church. Now, if we think for a few minutes that the seven church messenger was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, to rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit. He said, not by power nor might, but by my Spirit. Meaning not by any human power or any might by any group of people, or not denominational, organizational might, but my Spirit, by my Spirit, said the Lord. Not by organization, he said, not by denomination, but by the Holy Spirit, God will bring forth the church in the last day. So this is basically what the imagery that Zechariah saw in this vision. And we know that when it comes to the temple, the building of the temple, whether the first temple or the second temple, actually God is the builder of it. We think the people, Moses, and the Jewish people, and the gifts that God endowed them with, they worked together to build the temple. Actually, God is the builder of the temple. In Psalms chapter 127, verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, thy labor is in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." And Brother Brown said this in God Making His Promise, 1956. "And never will a church fail. Never will a program fail as long as those who are in charge stay in the center of God's will." Amen. God's will is perfect. Amen. And in everything, and everything will fall right into its place if you'll stay in God's will. But you get out of God's will here, it throws the whole program out. We understand that the will of God is in the Word of God. So we need to be careful in everything that we do for the church, that we do it according to His will, according to His Word. Hallelujah. It's important that we have the mind of God in whatever program we want to implement in the church. We understand that whatever trials and challenges we have to face, we face in church, and whatever blessing and the growth and the expansion of the church, whatever program we get involved with for the well-being of the church, we have to have the mind of Christ about it. Our program, whatever it is, it has to be in line with God's program. Because if not, Brother Brown said, it just throws the whole program out. It will never prosper. Because really, God is the builder. God is involved in everything that we do. And we thank God for the new fellowship hall. And Brother Barry showed me the new hall. And I just became envious because, you know, we also have a kitchen in the church, but the kitchen was maybe half the size of this platform. But God gifted you with a nice place. Amen. And I saw the facilities around you. There's even a kid's playhouse. And lots of growth and expansion taking place since Barry took over this church. But we must understand that God is in all of it. God is the one that's doing it. God is the one that's building the church. I'm not talking about just the physical aspect of the church. I'm talking about you and me, the true member of the body of the mystical body of Christ. God is the one really building up the church. Like the prophet said, it was destroyed, but God is building it up again, restoring it up in the last day. Hallelujah. Revelation 13, verse 3 and 4 says here, "I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God, the God of the earth." Of course, Brother Branham expounded this at length when he preached the sixth seal. It said the two prophets of Revelation 11, Moses and Elijah, will come on the scene to usher in the tribulation period. It said that's the alteration of nature. You know, there was a time when Brother Branham said the two olive trees are the new and the old and the New Testament, which is nothing but the Word of God. And you think about it, when he came to preaching the sixth seal, then he started saying, these are the two prophets, Moses and Elijah. And what did they have? The Word of God. You know, it was the Word of God that proceeded out of the mouth of Moses and produced all those plagues. And these two prophets are destined to punish the whole world and cause the alteration of nature by speaking the word, you know, stopping the skies for 3.5 years from not giving rain. Elijah did that. And how did he do it? By the word of God. So Brother Branham was right in saying the two olive trees is the word of God. And it's also right by saying the two olive trees are the two prophets, Moses and Elijah, that will come on the scene to bring on the tribulation period. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, we read here, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, meaning the second temple. See, it was demolished, but God was going to use Zerubbabel to build the second one. He said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and they shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel in with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now, God is saying this to the angel because the project of the prospect of rebuilding the temple seemed to be a gigantic task for the Jewish people. And Zerubbabel was at that time the governor of Judea. But according to the scriptures, God chose Zerubbabel to build the temple, the second temple, and lay the foundation of it and to finish it. But at this time, only the foundation was laid. Not the building, but just the foundation. But the Jewish people were happy about it, that the foundation was laid down. And the people that are living in around the area, they are not happy that the temple is being rebuilt, because since the Jewish people were taken captive into Babylon, then they have established themselves in the land. So they have their own agenda. They don't want the temple of the Jews to be rebuilt again in Jerusalem. So they were actually trying to oppose it. And they think, you know, this will be it, because we're going to oppose it. You laid the foundation, all right, but that will be it. And that's what they actually did. They opposed it and stopped the construction of the second building. We read in Ezra chapter 4, verse 24. then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. But you know, God raised up Zerubbabel and another person, which was the high priest at that time. His name is Joshua or Jeshua in other accounts. Zerubbabel and Jeshua stood for the people of Israel. And they fought for their rights to rebuild the temple. They wanted to reestablish worship in the true God in the same original spot where the first temple was built by Solomon. Hallelujah. And at first, the settlers of the land, they wanted to help out in rebuilding the temple. You know, they offered help. We want to cooperate with you and help you in building the temple. But it was a lie. They had an hidden agenda. They would just come in there and just disrupt the construction of the temple. They would just hinder it. And Zerubbabel and Joshua stood for God, and they knew, and so they didn't want the unbelievers to have a hand in rebuilding the temple. They said, this is our home, our house of worship. Yeah. We should be the ones, we the believers, yeah, should be the ones to build it. Amen. We won't let you have a hand or anything to do with the rebuilding of the temple. So these two stood by God and stood for the people of Israel in wanting to rebuild the temple. In the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 4 to 8, we see after the construction was stopped, because the people were saying, you know, maybe this is not yet the time. And so they lost the interest, they lost the enthusiasm to rebuild the temple. And you know what they did? They stopped building the temple and they started building their own homes. They started beautifying their own homes. And Haggai came on the scene, he was a prophet of God, and started rebuking the people. Let's read it. Chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. And then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed house? Sealed meaning houses with nice ceilings. Yeah. And this house lie in waste. Meaning Haggai was chastising the people. It's not right that you live in beautiful mansions and the house of God lie in waste, and the house of God lay unfinished. We laid the foundation, but that's just about it. It lays in waste while you live in your comfortable homes. He said, now therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. This is the result now. This is what's happening in your life. Because you're neglecting your responsibility to build the house of God. And instead you build your home, you beautify your own houses. He said, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat but not have enough. Ye drink but ye have not filled with drink. Ye clothe you but there is none warm. And he that hath earned wages to put it into a bag with holes. Meaning all your working amounts to nothing. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. This is what God, the Lord God, wants. And I will be glorified. Hallelujah. Said the Lord, you look for much, and lo, It came too little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Said the Lord of hosts. Because mine house. Because of mine house that is waste. There is a need that is greater than your own need. And that's the need for God to be worshipped. It is greater than any of our needs. It should be our priority to be able to provide a venue to worship God. Hallelujah. Because this is the greatest need. God is an object of worship. Hallelujah. And this should be our priority. To bring worship to God. Not to beautify your homes. Not to enjoy in this life. Hallelujah. You can enjoy your lives here. You can enjoy your homes. But first, build the house of God. Hallelujah. Christ is the foundation and the headstone to the bride body. Revelation 1:8. Jesus Christ said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He is the foundation and He is the headstone. Hallelujah. Of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the very foundation of the church. He is the Alpha. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the church will eventually grow up unto the head time. And the head is Christ. Hallelujah. He is the foundation. He is the beginning. But He is also the end. He is the foundation. But He is also the finishing. Hallelujah. He is also the capstone. And everything in between. I believe that with all my heart. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, the message of grace, and we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And He also is the headstone. Now, if we think for a few minutes that the seventh church messenger was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers, in other words, rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit. He said, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And then He said, not by organization, not by denomination, but by my Holy Spirit, God will bring forth the church in the last day. Hallelujah. I like that. It's by the Spirit of God that we're gathered here. It's by the Spirit of God that we heard the message of the hour. Hallelujah. It's by the Spirit of God that the church is being restored. Back to its original condition. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 23. On that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, and wear you like a signet ring, for it is you whom I have chosen. This is the word of the Lord, of hosts. So, Zerubbabel was perceived to be the coming Messiah. He was perceived to be that branch. The prophet Isaiah spoke about, In Isaiah chapter 42, the branch, which refers to the Messiah. Because here it says that the Lord has chosen Zerubbabel, and he was called the servant of God, and Zerubbabel would be worn like a signet ring. Of course, that means authority. So he was perceived to be the coming Messiah. Because he was a direct descendant of David and a descendant of Judah. And at this time he was prince in Judah. He was governor of Judah. Hallelujah. And he was leading the people in restoring the temple. Think about the circumstances. That's why many Jews thought that Zerubbabel was the Messiah, the branch.
Sure.
Hallelujah. But in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2, it says, in that day, the branch. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely to them that are escaped of Israel. Isaiah was prophesying about a branch that will be beautiful. And this speaks of Jesus Christ. The branch in the Old Testament term is an Old Testament term that refers to the Messiah. Now, here are the words of the prophet himself. Sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. The branch, he said, is Christ. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch that shall grow out of his roots. Who was that? Christ. Brother Bram said, that's Christ. Out of his roots will come Christ, the branch. Now, in Haggai chapter 2, verse 23, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee. Seemed like Zerubbabel was it, the Messiah. Because in Genesis chapter 4, 9, verse 10, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So who was it? It wasn't really Zerubbabel, but Zerubbabel was just a foreshadow of the true branch, of the true Messiah that was about to come and really finish the temple. Not Zerubbabel, it was Christ that would come to finish the temple. Hallelujah. Now, here's another baffling thing. Because we read in the book of Zechariah chapter 6, Zechariah and Haggai were the two prophets that encouraged the people of Israel to rebuild the temple. Let's read in chapter 6, verse 11. Till the 14th verse. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua. Joshua's the high priest, remember? It was Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest of the people of Israel at that time. Take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. The Spirit of God speaking about Joshua, he commanded to give him a crown, hallelujah, and said, speak unto him, speak unto Joshua, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. I thought it was Zerubbabel. I thought Zerubbabel was the branch. Now we see here that Joshua is the branch. God is acknowledging Joshua as the branch. Put the crown upon Joshua because he is the branch. It seemed baffling to me, you know, when I read this. Because who is supposed to rebuild the temple? Was it Zerubbabel or Joshua? Who's supposed to be the branch? Was it Zerubbabel or Joshua? It got me confused. Well, Joshua represents Jesus Christ. Joshua is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And Zerubbabel represents the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. And Zerubbabel and Joshua had to do it together. To build the temple together. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you're getting it. Jesus Christ and the bride have been commissioned to build the temple together. The temple of God together. Hallelujah. And he shall grow out of this place, reading from Zechariah 6:6. And he shall build the temple of the Lord, even shall be the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Speaking about Joshua. Now we understand they were both commissioned. Joshua and Zerubbabel were supposed to rebuild the temple, and they were called they were both called branch. Joshua and Zerubbabel. And we read in Ezra chapter 5 verse 2, it's very clear. It said, then rose up Zerubbabel. Next slide, please. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. Amen. Glory to God. So the temple was rebuilt through the instrumentality of these two leaders. Hallelujah. I believe the temple, the spiritual temple of Christ, is being built through the instrumentality of these two. Jesus Christ and the bride. Hallelujah. In Matthew 21, verse 42-44, the rejected stone becomes the headstone or the capstone. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, and but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We understand that Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And the Messiah was given to another nation. And that's the Gentile nation, the Gentile bride. Hallelujah. So the rejected stone actually became the capstone. Yeah. Oh my, so beautiful. Good. And in the next slide, Brother Branham states the different titles of God, which included the branch. So the whole heaven is named Jesus. The whole church is named Jesus. Everything is named Jesus, for it is the only name that God ever had. He's called Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's provider, sacrifice, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord's healer, Jehovah, the Lord's banner, Manasseh, Jehovah, different Jehovahs. He's called the morning star. He's called the Father. He's the Son. He's called the Holy Ghost. He's the Alpha and called the Omega. He's called the beginning. He's called the ending. He's called the branch. Hallelujah. Oh, he just called all kinds of titles, but he had one name. Hallelujah. And then it says, the branch is Christ. And the bride. Let's see the quote. The life of Christ in the branch. The branch is not Branham Tabernacle, he said. The branch is not William Branham. How many can say amen to this? Brother Rowell is not saying this. William Branham is saying this. The branch is not William Branham. Amen. The branch is whosoever will be plucked out of your unbelief and planted unto him. Amen. Oh my. I thought the branch is Christ. Yes, the branch is Christ. And whosoever will be plucked out of his unbelief or sin and planted unto him. Amen. Oh my. Hallelujah. That means the bride of Jesus Christ. You have been planted into Him. You were with Him before the foundation of the world. You're a part of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's the branch. Christ and the church. Christ and the bride of Jesus Christ. That's why Brother Bram said in Jehovah Jireh, he said, next slide. About touching God. I believe in touching God, not the preacher. He said, now, to touch me, it wouldn't make any difference. I'm a man. But to touch him, then he's the Holy Spirit that's in there. Then he reacts back and uses human lips. Because he is the vine, we are the branches. He doesn't bear fruit, he only recognizes the branch. The vine doesn't bear fruit. It's the branches that bear fruits. Oh my. I hope you can see who you are. And how God looks at you. Hallelujah. And then Brother Bam said in another quote, lean not unto thine own understanding. Usually, if you have any personal contact with people, like in laying of hands, it could be, I don't think too many of you would do that. Well, they would say, a certain minister laid his hands on me. And glory to God. But he said, that makes the people look at the minister then. That's why he said it lately, in the later part of his ministry, laying on of hands is not my ministry. Hallelujah. His ministry is to build faith in the hearts of the people so that they can speak the word. And whatever they speak will come to pass before their very eyes. That's his ministry. William Branham expounds on the book of Zechariah, particularly chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Okay. He says, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and the fellows that sit with thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant like the branch. He said, Christ. For behold, the stone that I will lay before Joshua upon stone, one stone shall be seven eyes. excuse me, seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereon, said the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. The seven eyes. Look at how he expounded it. The seven eyes. Eyes means seeing. Seeing means prophets. Seers. This lamb had seven eyes. Seven horns. And on its horn had an eye. Seven eyes. What is it? Brother Bram says, Christ and his bride. Oh my. He's talking about the foundation now with seven eyes. He's talking about the lamb. But then he said, this is, what is it? This is Christ and his bride. Seven church ages. Out of their seven prophets that went forth, seven seers, eyes. So the last one must be a seer. And Brother Branham knocked on the pulpit two times. He said, a seer. He said this in breach. Yep. Hallelujah. We read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. It has been slain. As it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. I want you to see the image for me now. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Consider the tree of life. John 15, verse 5. Next slide, please. I am the vine. You are the branches. Can you say amen? He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Revelation chapter 1 verse 20. Is this the church? We'll read. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. And the seven golden candlesticks. There's a mystery to this thing. The seven golden candlesticks. What is it? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. In the next slide, if you look at the menorah, which is a symbolism used by Brother Branham to represent the seven church ages, it looks like a tree with seven branches. And Christ said, I am the main vine, and you are the branches. Hallelujah. And then in investments, he said this. Next. Yeah. The world is wanting to see Christ. Is this true? The world is wanting to see Christ. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And the branch bears record of the vine because it draws its energy and life from the vine. Because it draws its life from the vine. Well, the first vine, the first branch that came from its vine, they wrote a book of Acts behind that branch. It's the church in Pentecost, right? Acts chapter 2, the apostolic church. We see the way that the Holy Spirit acted in the first church, that church of Pentecost. And then we believe that if this original vine ever puts forth another branch, yep. Hallelujah, they will write another book of Acts behind it. Yes, let me ask you the question. Has it put forth another branch in the last days? Amen. then we are going to write another book of Acts behind us. Hallelujah. Because it's the same life that is in the vine. Hallelujah. You know, we preach an anointed sermon and we feel good about it, but it's really not us doing it. It's God doing it through you. We sing and we glorify God by singing, by the gifts that God has given us. Hallelujah. Because it's really God that's doing it through us. It's really God that's blessing the people. It's not your singing. It's God that's blessing the people. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not the gift. It's the gift giver.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And then Brother Bram said in the Uniting Time and Sign, the builder of the house is unrecognized. Who is the true builder of the house? Brother Bram said, that sounds good. But what had they done? The builder of the house was in there. In a form of a lowly Galilean carpenter, and they turned him down. When God had vindicated him of being his messenger of the hour and the branch. Who is the branch? Christ is the branch. And they turned him down. Hallelujah. No wonder he came as a carpenter. He's a master builder. But the people did not recognize him as that. He was turned down. Provided a lamp. God has provided a lamp. Brother Bram says, and now, how will he be known? How will we know him? He said, by his nature. What he does, his works. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now the branch bears the fruit, not the vine. Are you listening? Christ doesn't bear the fruit, you and I do. Hallelujah. The vine energizes the branch. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. That's the reason we're able to bear fruit. That's the reason we are able to do good works. That's the reason we don't look like the world. Because God's holiness is in us. The Holy Spirit energizes us in order to for us to be able to do these things. Hallelujah. And if the branch ever brings forth, a vine brings forth a branch, it has grapes on it. The next vine that comes out or branch out of that vine will have grapes on it. If the first church that come out of that vine was a Pentecostal church with all the gifts, if that ever really puts forth another branch, that will write another book of Acts behind it. And that's why that's what they had in the days of the apostles, and the apostolic age never ceased, never ended. It's still on. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we need to be able to manifest the same life as the first church. Hallelujah. And here's the culmination. Here's the finishing of the building. Are you ready? John chapter 14, verse 20. The culmination of it all. At that day, the Lord said, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. The Son is in the Father. And the Father gave His glory to the Son. But when the Father gave His glory to the Son, He did not give it to another. Because the Father is the same person as the Son. Hallelujah. And God does not give His glory to another. Hallelujah. And listen. The Son, Christ, and the Bride of Christ, they are not two persons, but one. And you know what Christ is doing? He's letting us bear the fruit. What is it? He's giving us the glory. Until the Bible says we become a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And all these mysteries that were hidden before are now being revealed for our glory. Hallelujah. And we say, glory to God, glory to God. And God says, glory to you. And when Jesus Christ gives His glory to the bride, He does not give it to another person. Because Jesus Christ and the bride, they are one person. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. This is so wonderful. Hallelujah. So what is Jesus saying? At that day, we will be completely one. Hallelujah. I and the Father are one. I and the Bride are one. Hallelujah. I and the Father, one person. I and the Bride, one person. Hallelujah. Amen. These are not three individuals, just one person. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 to 4. The head coming down to the body. Revelation 21, verse 2 to 4. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. Oh my. The tabernacle of God. He built it. He laid the foundation. He is the foundation. Hallelujah. And He finished it. He's with us all the way. He didn't say, I will not leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you till the end of the world. Hallelujah. We understand that He's still with us. And at the closing days of time, this is the capping of the church. Hallelujah. He will finish the church. And He is the finishing of the church. He is the capstone. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. And the Bible, no wonder the Bible says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What is this? Complete oneness. Between the head and the body. Oh my. Hallelujah. You know, in the book of Haggai it says, the glory of this latter house, meaning the second temple that Zerubbabel and Joshua built together, He said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, or the original, the first temple, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Meaning, the second temple was more glorious than the first. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you look at it, the second temple was much smaller. Was much cheaper. It wasn't really as beautiful as the first one. Hallelujah. But what made the difference? Hallelujah. What made the difference? It was in the second temple that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the branch, came into and ministered the Word of God. Hallelujah. Not the first, but the second temple. God in flesh came in there to speak the word of God. Hallelujah. This is what made the difference. This is what made the second temple more glorious than the first. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the second temple, if you think about it, was also destroyed. 70 AD, it was destroyed, right? By General Titus.
Yep.
And during that crucifixion, it showed here that the veil of the temple, the veil that separated the most holy place from the sanctuary, was rent in two from the top to the bottom. Meaning it was God that did it. Not man, but God did it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What does it mean for us? God was showing us that the mercy seat is not in the most holy place anymore. The mercy seat was hanging on that cross. What am I telling you? That body is the true temple of the living God. Hallelujah. And now Jesus has a body. And this body is the temple of the living God. The Spirit of God lives within you. You are the true temple of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Son of God, Son of Man, the Son of Man ministry is being manifested in you. Have you ever heard the quotation where Brother Ben says, everything that was in God, He poured into Christ. And Christ became the manifestation of God. But the story didn't stop there. Everything that was in Christ, He now pours into the church of the living God. Hallelujah. And the bride now becomes the manifestation of Christ. Amen. As Christ is the manifestation of God, and the bride of Christ is now the manifestation of Christ.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. The vine, Brother Bram says, does not bear the fruit. It's the branch that bears the fruit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I hope you're seeing yourself now. Who is the branch? Jesus Christ is the branch.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ called you the branch. I am the vine. You are the branches.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. Everything that Jesus is must be manifested in the last days in the bride.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what made the church of Jesus Christ more glorious than the physical temple. Amen? Because the Spirit of God dwells now within you. Hallelujah. The head is now coming to the body. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who I have proven by the Bible, promised that He would return in the last days, reveal Himself in the fullness of His Spirit, just like the church coming up, like it comes from a human being, all the way from the feet, it comes up to the thighs, then to the head, and the head is the head of the body, and the body has come up. Ever since the first church, come justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now it's the head, Christ, coming to the body. Now this is what's happening now. The head, Christ, is coming to the body. The body of Christ. It's not coming to the Baptist church, not the Catholic church, not any organized religion, but it's coming to a particular church. The bride of Christ, the body of Christ. He is the one who knows. My hand don't know to act, just my head. But He is the one who knows. That's the reason He is the Word. Brother Bram says, I am not the Word. I am a man. Can we say that about ourselves too? I am not the Word, but I am a man. But you see, He uses this body. Because He died to sanctify this body that He might use it.
Amen.
And give it a gift. just like pulling it out of gear, then the Holy Spirit takes over.
Yes. Amen. Good.
Oh my.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Here's what it said. You become the Word as you receive the Word. You're not the Word, but you become the Word as you receive the Word. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it, and it came because He was the Word. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word. Now, is this simple enough? I think this is not complicated. You become the Word as you receive the Word. Hallelujah. The preacher preaches not just some words. It is the Word. Hallelujah. And if you say amen to it, and you make it live through your life, you have received it, and you in turn become the Word. Oh my, this is so wonderful. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, my words which His Word abides in you, then you ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. See, if you say to this mountain, Lord, pull now. If you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you shall have what you've said. When you pray, believe that you receive what you have asked for, and you shall have it. It will be given to you. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. It's already. It's already over with. Oh my. Glory to God. The Word is coming now to the body. Jehovah Jireh said, but remember, the last thing is His divine presence. The Word itself. He is the Word, the head. The Word is coming to the body. See? And when that Word in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, said, the Word of God is sharper, more powerful than any two-edged sword, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, take that scripture and run it right back from the beginning of the prophets, run it right on down through Jesus Christ, and see if that isn't the same thing. The same thing, that He is known as Messiah. Now, it's not some man here that's Messiah. It's the Holy Spirit is the Messiah. Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same thing. So here it is. Here now, just working in the flesh, getting the body ready for the rapture and grace. Believe it, friends. Hallelujah. He is here. As the body, the Word. Hallelujah. He's now being connected to the body. That pyramid that has no cap, that's been foreshadowed over the years in Egypt. The great pyramid has no cap. But in our age, the capstone has come. And the capstone is Christ. And listen, the capstone, the head, is what beautifies the body. No matter how shapely a woman's body is, how flawless the skin is, no matter how beautiful he is dressed, if that woman has no head, it's not a beautiful person. He cannot actually be taken as a monster, a woman with no head. But when the head comes down, it's what makes the body beautiful. I thank God that the head has come down in our age. And I see a beautiful bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In action. Hallelujah. Manifesting the very same life of Jesus. Glory to God. After discerning 1964, the trial, discerning and helping a brother, you know, and pronouncing him healed, he said, I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of the Son of Man in human flesh through the bride's body. Look at the statement. He said, I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of the Son of Man in flesh through the bride's body.
Amen.
Not just in Brother Branham's body,
yeah,
but in the bride's body. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The Son of Man is being revealed.
Amen.
Oh my. Hallelujah. And in the seven church ages, he described the scene in Revelation 1. Let me quote it to you. It's not in the slide, but let me just quote it to you. Now, that's the Bible. Now, what the Spirit says, see, the candlesticks, all right now, the 13th verse, speaking about the golden candlestick. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, there is one like the Son of Man. He said, what? One like him.
Yeah.
Who was this? He said, his bride.
Yeah.
One like him. Watch how it was clothed with a garment down to the foot. The holiness of Jesus Christ covering her. He was has washed us from our sins with his own blood. All right. And he said, girt about the paps. He says, paps. Not a man, but a woman. Oh, my. Everybody knew the man, the person that was walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks was Christ. But Brother Branham in this quote says, it's not a man. It's not the Son of Man. It was one like him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not a man, but a woman.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Son of Man being portrayed as a woman. Hallelujah. That's why in the Rising of the Sun, Brother Bam said, she is him. And the LGBT community is making a mockery of this. And causing a lot of confusion all over the world. You don't know a person whether he's a man or a woman now. You don't know where to go to a woman's bathroom or a man's bathroom. Hallelujah. It's a perversion of what God is doing right now. Because God is showing himself through Christ. And Christ is now showing himself through the body of Christ, which is the bride. Oh my, God is so good. Now I can say, what is my life that he was willing to give his life for my life? It dawns on me, my life is actually his life. That's why he was willing to give his life for me. Wonder if Sister Becky can play his life for mine. Will you just help me? Maybe Sister Kristen can help me. Why did he exchange his life for mine?
Yeah.
Now I understand. My life is his life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you know the song, just help me. His heart was broken and mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. Oh my. His cross that he carried bore my burdens. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine. His life for mine. How could it ever be that he of suffering brought me healing. You spilled His blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. This sorrow gave me joy and hope. His life for mine, yes, Lord, His life for mine. Sing it with me. How could it ever be? How could it ever be that He would die? That He would die. God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, He gave His life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of His garments and the breast. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine, His life for mine.
Life for mine. What a fitting sermon for a day like today. We celebrate building and completing the building process. What a tremendous thought. And what a thought that goes deep in our thinking, and how the Holy Spirit has worked so hard on us. And He looks at our building, and He looks at our tabernacle. It says, I just got a little more to do. I just got a little more to do. Hold on. A little more to do. But it's okay to have a dedication along the way, right? It's okay to keep dedicating, because it's a good thing. Good thing for what He does. Amen.
Lord, prepare me. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living.
singing again now. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with
again now.
Jesus be.
Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity we've had to be in the house of the Lord today and to hear your word, Lord, and to hear your desire to live in these temples, Lord, and how, God, you're rebuilding and reshaping and molding and, Lord, creating something that, Lord, will step into eternity. Oh, God, we are just mindful, Lord. We are humbled by how, Lord Jesus, you have allowed these just sinful lives, Lord, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to prove the acceptable and perfect will of God. I pray, dear God, we would submit to that process and submit to the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us, Lord, to the place you would have us to be. And I ask, Lord Jesus, you take this word now, and may it just stimulate us, Lord. May it just inspire us, I pray, Lord, to recognize this part of the body we are in this last day, Lord. And you've chosen us to be living in this capstone time, in this final time, Lord, when the finishing parts are put together. How thankful we are. Lord, bless those that are here today, I pray. And may our hearts be enriched, Lord. And Father, now as we move into this next part, Lord, I pray that you would bless our fellowship in a special way, Lord. And as we step into that new hall, Lord, I pray that even it would remind us, Lord, of one day stepping into a new place. And one day soon, Lord, we shall do that together. Bless our fellowship now this afternoon, I pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. How many enjoyed the word today? You need to think about some of those things that were said. I'll tell you, that was just a very inspiring thought. Brother Royal, God bless you. It's certainly an honor to have you with us today. And Sister Soriano, and may the Lord richly bless you. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't want anybody to think of leaving, whether you brought a bunch of food or whether you brought nothing but an appetite. We've got lots of food, and we want you to come and enjoy our fellowship together. And we're running a little later than normal, but that's all right. We only have one service today, so we want you to be dismissed and come and join us in the hall and find a place to sit, and then we'll pray and eat. That's what we'll do first. May the Lord bless you this morning as you go. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find